Welcome to episode 28 of the Jock X podcast. My name is James O'Connor, and today's special guest is Brenton Ford. Now, Brenton comes to us from his own company that he founded, Effortless Swimming. Now, he is basically a national level coach helping swimmers through his online business take their games to the next level in terms of technique and training methods and all those types of things for his guys across the country. And it's really exciting having on because Brenton has gone down the path of following his passion for swimming, which he was a national level swimmer growing up, and really applying that to his career and make his own business to now he can basically do what he wants with the stuff that he loves through swimming and helping people, you know, swim faster and get a lot more enjoyment and a lot more achievement out of their swimming careers. So super stoked to have him on. And this is for you guys out there who are the sports people who want to take your game to the next level. You can really apply some techniques out there from here, what we talk about, to also the business people listening to how Brenton set up this business to allow him to work anywhere, sort of anytime with his guys via this online business, Effortless Swimming. So guys, heaps are here to take out of a guy like Brenton and what he's doing. He's been doing it for a number of years now, and it's really cool talking to him and about all his insights and things he's learned through this chat we have here on the Jock X podcast. So guys, really enjoy this one, and make sure, I'm sure you've got some friends or family out there who are going to really love this. Tap them on the shoulder and make sure you get them to download this particular episode of Brenton, because he's going to learn a lot from this guy, and you have to definitely check him out, whether it be on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or his website, Effortless Swimming. So guys, really enjoy episode 28 with Brenton Ford and myself, James O'Connor.
Welcome, Brenton. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's awesome to have you here. We finally got a few technical issues worked out, so it's great to get this going, and I'm excited to have you on the show and really discuss about what you're doing and your background. So if you could sort of start us off and kick off this episode with what you've done in the past and what you're doing now.
Yeah, so I guess my background is in swimming. So my granddad used to run an outdoor pool. My mum and dad are both swim coaches, and they run a learn to swim business, which means that I've been in the water since I was born, basically. And I grew up swimming very regularly, 7 to 9 times a week as a kid, and then reached an okay level as a junior, making some national age finals. And then at 18, I sort of finished up competing at a high level, and went to university, wasn't too sure what I wanted to do. But ended up starting a business in swimming coaching. So now I travel around Australia and to other countries as well, running clinics and camps and teaching a lot of triathletes and swimmers just how to improve as a swimmer and grow as a person through swimming. So that's kind of where I'm up to now.
Yeah, for sure. And your obviously business is called Effortless Swimming. How many years ago did you sort of get into the online space and really getting into your coaching through via that sort of business model?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to run a business, and I think I've just been very fortunate that I can do that in something that I really enjoy, which is obviously swimming. And when I was growing up through school, instead of working at McDonald's like a lot of my friends were doing, I actually started selling things on eBay, and I just absolutely love the model of being able to create a product and not have to sort of be somewhere, trade time for money, and just be able to do that online. I thought that was really good. So when I went to university, in our last year of uni, I did the entrepreneurship course at RMIT. You had the option to either go and work for or do a sort of traineeship with Deloitte, or you could start your own business. So I decided to do that, and I started up Effortless Swimming, and it was very basic in the beginning. I created a digital product just helping people swim faster freestyle, and it just sort of grew from there. So I've been doing that for the last 7 years now. I've been running the business for the last 7 years. But like a lot of things, it took a lot of time, a lot of energy to get it to a place where I could do that full time. But I've just learned so much along the way from doing things similar to yourself, which is, you know, running a podcast, creating videos, meeting new people, and a lot of new contacts just through putting yourself out there. And I don't know about you, but when I first started, I had a lot of hang-ups about approaching successful swimmers, like Olympians and successful coaches, and speaking to them and having them on the podcast, and just putting myself out there to possibly be shut down. But as you learn and as you grow, they're just regular people, and they love to share their stories, and they love to help other people. So I think running the business and growing it has been the best thing for my personal development that I could have done.
Yeah, for sure. And I love a couple of things you sort of really touched on there, and sort of how, I guess first off is sort of, creating a business like yours, how successful it is now, it does take time. And I think a lot of people, the young generation like us, sort of always want things to happen so quickly. And I think it's cool that you sort of realize that it does take time to create something really of value to people, in your case, swimmers, to really, and triathletes to take themselves to the next level. Did you think when you first started out it was going to happen quicker, or did you always have the sort of long term, I'm in this for a number of years, and this is your real passion?
It was a little bit of a mix. I mean, I really wanted fast results, and I got some okay results early on. And by that, I mean, when I started the business, it was one digital product. It was this video. And after I sort of got the website up, which took a long time, and after I made the video, which took a lot of editing and filming and all of that, after I released it, I made a couple of sales. And I think that kind of just, I caught the bug then. So seeing that little bit of early success gave me a taste of what was possible. So I mean that really helped. But then after that, it's a long slog, and people need to get to know you, need to get familiar with your company or your brand. And as you mentioned, it takes a couple of years for people to sort of come around to that a lot of times. And I mean, I was really young when I started. I was 21, and looking back, I'm amazed that people sort of listened to me back then, and were taking advice. But I think, as long as the advice you have is helpful, they put it to use and they get results from it, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's just about it's just about putting yourself out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think particularly in the tech day and age, sort of discrimination towards age is really almost over. If you look at the superstars across the globe, led by a guy like Zuckerberg or someone, age is no limit really to what you can do. And I guess you're showing that as well, which is exciting. I thought it was cool too how you talked about, like, with your podcast, Effortless Swimming, which I'm actually going to feature on as well. So guys, you're going to have to definitely check that out. With your podcast and talking about getting sort of, really high profile triathletes and swimmers on your podcast, it's cool how you talked about at first you're a bit hesitant and getting those people on, but after a while you sort of realize, hey, they're just regular people, and if you're showing them value in your and they're seeing value in what you're doing, you really build that partnership quickly, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And the way I sort of built up the podcast was I started with someone who I knew very well, and he happened to be on the Australian team, so I interviewed him. And then and then I could go to the next person and say, oh, look, I've had Ashley Delaney, Australian swimmer, on the podcast. Would you like to join? And then it kind of just snowballs from there when you start to get some well recognized guests, and then you have people asking to come on and want to be a part of it. So it's it really does have that snowball effect. And I think in terms of just the skills of interviewing people or even just conversational skills, I don't even want to listen to my first few podcasts because they were so amateur. But you develop those skills as you go, and now I like to think that I can hold a conversation that's hopefully interesting and engaging and really be of help to listeners. So yeah, and I think I started my podcast probably three years ago now. So it's as we're talking about, that really takes time to develop. But you just got to push through those first sort of awkward you know, awkward interviews or, you know, awkward stages where you're still just kind of learning the ropes, but it's worth pushing through.
Yeah, for sure. I, for folks who've obviously listened to my podcast, they've probably listened to my first one, which was with AFL player Steve Baker, who's obviously best and fairest and won all and played in grand final and so forth. And yeah, at the time, I listened back to it and I don't really want to anymore because it was very amateur. At the time, actually, I recorded a video. So it was actually a video recording. Then I decided I wanted to make a podcast. I turned it into a podcast. So, but it is funny. Once you do get the first one, which I was lucky enough to get Steve on the show, you do sort of take off from there and then everything sort of does snowball. So it is funny though, as you develop, and your mind's been going on about 6 or 7 months now, and you'll be episode 28, but it definitely, it's amazing how you can improve by just doing something consistently, like interviewing people each week in, week out.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's just that consistency, and you know, now you could probably you know, host one of these with you without really thinking too much. It just comes naturally, and yeah, and you're just so used to it. So it's and I think just in terms of running a podcast, you know, if you're a business person or even a sports person who wants to sort of build your profile, just being on someone else's podcast or even starting your own is such a good way to get yourself known and, you know, and really create a sort of brand for yourself or profile, and yeah, and just be able to be a good guest without sort of just giving the stock standard answers that everyone gives. Like, you know, after a football game or something, you know, every footy player pretty much says the same thing. So if you can, you know, you still need to give those answers when it might be the media, but on a podcast you can really dive deep with stories and personal experiences and just kind of separate yourself from the crowd. So by getting that practice, it can really make a big difference to your personal development.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally the same watching those, you know, you watch the football interviews and you just sort of think, God, I wish you could ask some decent questions rather than the same old rubbish they go back with, back and forth. And maybe they just think it obviously works for them and it does the job for them. But myself, I'm an avid podcast listener and I love the insights. And just on that, Brenda, I'd love to get an insight on you. When did you realise, obviously you were 21 when you started to coach and start a business and do these sorts of things. When did you realise you really sort of had the key elements to make this a success and really help people take their swimming to a next level?
I started coaching when I was 18. So I was actually, maybe 19, but basically I was first year of uni. I started coaching at Melbourne University and just twice a week with a squad there. And I really enjoyed that side of things. I like teaching and helping others. But I think kind of looking back when I was growing up, and I think this is probably the same for a lot of people, is that if you look at what you enjoyed or what you did as a child, you can kind of see that trend continue later on in life. I mean, when I was in school, especially primary school, there was kids who were maybe who didn't behave that well, and they maybe weren't good at maths or whatever, and I'd always want to help them and help them, you know, pass the class or do well with it. And so kind of just looking at that, I can see how I continued on this path. And I mean, my dad, he used to coach me in swimming, and he did a very, like, he's a really good educator and really good at especially teaching younger kids what just life skills, like firm handshake, saying hello, goodbye, and manners, and just that sort of stuff. And he's just embedded all of that sort of stuff in me. So based on that, that's when I sort of started to kind of become very similar to him in terms of teaching. So I mean, it took me probably 4 to 5 years to think, all right, this is what I really like doing. I mean, I always enjoyed it, but I think once I really sort of found my groove with swimming coaching, and in particular running clinics and camps for people, that's what I really love to do. So once I sort of found that, that's when I thought, this is something that I can that I'd love to keep doing, because it's you know, when it comes to your work or how you make a living, if it's something as rewarding as coaching or teaching or educating, then I think you're you know, can consider yourself very lucky.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's interesting you sort of talk about the teaching side of things. Myself, actually, I sort of grew up, I always sort of tossed with the idea of becoming an actual teacher, like a school teacher. And I just sort of felt within myself and in my heart that I sort of wanted to reach more people and have the ability to do it on a larger scale. But I sort of felt to the classroom, or even if I became the principal of the school, I just sort of felt that probably wasn't the level that I wanted to help people. So that's why I've sort of gone down the online path, and the ability to have a podcast like this for starters to reach thousands of people without, you know, with a click of a button. So it's a cool way to go. I like your story with that. And I also like to talk about, you grew up, obviously, you're obviously absolutely entrenched in swimming. Your dad, as you said, was your coach. And explain to me how that was. And I know actually one of my cousins actually was swimming with your group as well. And talk to me about how that was and getting the best out of yourself working so closely with your dad.
Yeah, well, I was really lucky with my dad being he was able to, he sort of separated home from swimming, but when we were training, he would never sort of really get stuck into me if I didn't perform or in training or anything like that. So it's not like he was never a sort of a parent while he was coaching. And by that, I mean, a lot of parents are on their kids' back way too much. You know, if they don't have a good race, or if they, are misbehaving or whatever in a session, the parent will come over and get much too involved than what I think they need to. So I think the relationship actually worked really, really well. And, we were able to kind of separate that out. It worked really well. And I mean, I was a hard worker in training. I never slacked off, and I always pushed myself. So I think that helped. But yeah, I mean, for me, it was, I really, really enjoyed it. And yeah, at times got annoyed at him, as you would with any coach or any parent really. But it was, it really, really helped me. And I think it kind of made us, kind of brought us closer together, because it was probably six or seven years of 8 sessions a week, where we'd I guess I got to see him a lot more than I would if he wasn't coaching me, because obviously he's working, I'm at school and that sort of thing. So yeah, for me it worked out really well. For other swimmers, for other athletes it may not, but I think I was just really lucky.
Yeah absolutely. And I guess obviously your dad was one of your mentors, obviously growing up, being your coach. Who else are you'd say your mentors are now, and why do you have them in that sort of space for you?
Probably my main mentor in business is a guy called James Schramko. So his story is he was a salesman at Mercedes-Benz, and he kind of worked his way up till he couldn't go any further. And he started a business pretty similar to mine, actually, not in swimming, but just in sort of the online marketing space. And then he sort of went full time with that. And now he helps other people like myself grow their business. So for me, he's been really good, because he combines the lifestyle side of things with business and delivering a good product and all that sort of thing. And when I was growing up, I thought that you should just, you should work your ass off. You only need 4 hours sleep, and and it should just be a grind every day. But through James, I've sort of learned that it's okay to work for 3 hours of the day if that's all you need to, and then take the rest off and enjoy yourself. And I think that's something that a lot of people miss. But now people are starting to recognize the value of getting a full night's sleep, and and you don't need to work 8 hours a day if it's not necessary. So, through him, I've learned I guess you call it balance, but, just how to enjoy yourself in business a lot. So, I mean, that's where I sort of look to for business mentorship. But then in terms of sport, I mean, I know a lot of people who have achieved some pretty crazy things when it comes to swimming, like a girl, Chloe McArdle, who just completed the triple crossing of the English Channel. So she's
incredible.
Done some crazy things. So I mean, I kind of just, I like to surround myself with people who are just really pushing the the boundaries with that sort of stuff, and just sort of see what's possible. But yeah, I mean, I also love reading, you know, reading books, listening to audiobooks, and just getting the experience of what other people have gone through. Like, I don't know if you've read the Mike Tyson book or Andre Agassi book?
I haven't actually. No, I've seen a lot of Mike Tyson's and Agassi stuff. I actually haven't got through Agassi's book yet, and I don't think I have read Mike's book before, no.
So they're the two autobiographies that I recommend to everyone. And I mean, they're, especially the Mike Tyson book, that's a long one. So you know, if you can get the Audible book of that, it's probably the easiest way to go. But yeah, just autobiographies are just, you can learn so much from them, and they're just so interesting as well. Like Mike Tyson, he's won something like $400 or $500 million in prize money or in sponsorship, and he wound up broke. So how the hell does that happen? And you know, what kind of process does he go through to lose it all? And just to hear about his story of drugs and hookers and all of this, and it's just wild. And you know, he kind of comes out the other end of it, and he finally learns from it. But yeah, just learning through it through other people is yeah, it's been really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm absolutely a big reader on autobiographies, and I think the recent ones I've read Elon Musk. If you haven't read that, get a hold of that one. Obviously, he's SpaceX and Tesla CEO.
Yeah, I've heard that's a good book.
Yeah, unreal. And I even read that Ronda Rousey's book as well, the UFC fighter. She's a star as well. So that's my relationship. But yeah, I'm massive on the autobiographies and just, you know, podcasts as well. Just on podcasts, other than obviously this one and your podcast, Effortless Swimming, what are a couple others that you love to listen to?
I like to listen to a wide range of podcasts. A lot of the NPR ones are really good. I think it's National Public Radio over in the States, but they've got some really interesting ones, like This American Life, where they normally pick one or two different stories, and they almost produce like a movie quality podcast every week. But yeah, This American Life, there's one called Snap Judgment, which again is just people telling stories of things they've gone through, and I find that really interesting. Then other ones where people are just kind of just conversations, like Joe Rogan, who I know you're familiar with, and
yep.
Just sort of, I'd like to kind of spread it out among, I love listening to a lot of business podcasts, like Tim Ferriss is obviously very good, and you know, there's a lot of other guys like that, but yeah, from sport to business to just, I don't know, just really random ones, which I think you can still kind of pick things up from, and they're engaging as well. I mean, I looked at my Stitcher app the other day, and that's kind of just how I listen to podcasts through my Android device. And I've listened to over 1,000 hours of podcasts in the last, I think it's 3 years now. So it's, yeah. Every time I'm in the car, there's always a podcast on. So I think if you can yep. fill your mind with that interesting, that positive stuff, you can't help but change because of it.
Yeah, for sure, and just on that, sort of listening to the, you know, the stuff. Like I'm a huge believer in really being careful what you sort of, you know, put into your mind and what you do subject yourself to. So, you know, some of the, I guess, I think mistakes people make is first thing in the morning, you're sort of throwing on the news, and as you know, the news is every negative story they can think of basically put out to you. And I think that's
so
a real
bad.
Ordinary way to start. So I'm really massive on. Yeah, not turning on the TV in the morning and either listening to podcasts or reading a book or, you know, doing things and just planning your day and stuff. And I think listeners who are on this, you got to be very careful what you, yeah, subject yourself to and realise that there are some amazing material out there, like these podcasts you've just reeled off, some really cool material. And rather listen to a radio with all half the time it's on ads anyway, let's be honest, you can get some really cool stuff. So, yeah, definitely recommend... be a bit of a guard into your mind and what you're actually absorbing on a daily basis, for sure.
Yeah, well, if you're, I mean, I was on the indoor trainer yesterday, and I never watched the news or anything, but I just I had the TV on silent, and it was like the Channel 7 news was on, and you just see all the headlines pop up and the stories that they show, and you watch that for 10 minutes, and you think the world's going to end, and yep. all it does is just instill this sense of fear and worry and helplessness. So it's just there's no positives to watching the news, and you're not going to miss anything. I mean, if something really important is happening, there's no doubt that a friend of yours will tell you, or you might see it on Facebook or something. So there's the news is just such a negative view on things. And I mean, same with a lot of reality TV as well. I mean, you just see this crap that's put out there, and you know, it can't help but kind of make you dumber, I think. I mean, there's a time and a place for reality TV. I mean, my wife loves to watch it and just kind of switch off when she gets home from work, and that's fine. But I think, you know, if you just watch it all the time and you sort of take it too seriously, there's it can't be good for you.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And you sort of, I can pretty much predict what comes in the news. Usually, you know, the story, they start with one murder across the country of 23 million people they'll pick out, and then they'll go to some burning down warehouse, and then they'll flick to some political, you know, stoush, and then I'll throw in a couple of baby elephants getting born at the end.
Yeah, that's right.
it's just ridiculous. But anyway, sort of coming towards the end of this episode here for you, Brenton. Could go on forever, and I have a couple of few final things I sort of want to discuss while we can. If you, for all listeners on here, if you could give them three pieces of advice, just three sort of things that they could really live by that would take them to the next level, whether it be in business, whether it be in sport, and really lift them up, what would they be?
Some of the things that I think have worked really well for me is one thing that I try and do most of the time is doing something different than what I see most people doing. So, for me, how I sort of currently live my life is that during the days I've got a lot of free time. Like I do some coaching in the mornings and at nights, and I'll do some work during the day. But I just having my days pretty much free. I feel such a sense of freedom from that. So, you know, if you can do something different to what you see the crowd doing, then it's, then you can probably guess that you're on the right track. Secondly is again, not listening to what people think of you or think of what you're doing, because I mean, when it comes down to it, you're the only person that you need to convince of what you're doing. So any negative comments or even just opinions of what you're doing, they don't matter, because I mean, people are always happy to share their opinions on things, but more than likely they're not right, or you know, it just shouldn't play into what you're doing. That's the second one, and then thirdly, just you got to persist. I mean, it took me probably 4 or 5 years to go full time with my business, and I'm sort of 7 years into it now. And I think that if I'd stopped 2 or 3 years in, I'd really be kicking myself that I hadn't continued. Because I mean, right now I think I'm pretty lucky with sort of what I get to do, and and I get to sort of write my own schedule, which for me is really important. So just don't give up. Just keep. Keep pushing and keep learning, and don't be afraid to put yourself in a situation where you might look stupid, or you could fail, you could come across as being stupid. So don't care what people think, and try and do something different than what you see everyone doing.
Yeah, no, I really love those three. So basically, you know, not following the crowd, not getting a bit concerned, I guess, when you realize you are part of the majority. Don't care what others think, and really persist. I really, just on the first one, I really like that, how it is always, I think, I can't remember who said it, but it was like, I think it might have been, I can't think of his name now. Famous sort of philosopher said, if you notice yourself a part of the main crowd, and that's the point where you stop and think about what you're actually doing.
Yeah,
and question it, and I think that's kind of cool. So if you sort of realize your work habits or lifestyle is basically the same as everyone else, then I think that's the point where you've got to really question about what is possible and the things that you can do, and that a select percentage of people are doing now, like yourself, who are really changing the way that from the normal 9 to 5, which is probably 90% of the nation's doing right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, every time I'm stuck in traffic, I kind of have this thought. It's like, I'm like most people. I just absolutely hate being stuck in traffic for one thing. And you know, as soon as I'm stuck in traffic, I think, all right, what am I going to, and do I really need to do it? You're going to have to put up with traffic every now and then, but that's just one of those things where I think, geez, is this worth it? And you know, I'm stuck with 1,000 other cars. You know, could I potentially not be doing this and be doing something different? So, I mean, that's just one kind of indicator of it. But I think it's kind of good to be a bit of an outsider to what the majority is doing.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I always sort of think, you know, the traffic hour, 7 to 9 o'clock in the morning and 4 till sort of 6. I always think, you know, it's almost like the universe is rewarding people who are thinking outside of the box and either starting early or starting later during the day. With less traffic, I always sort of sit in my car and think, you know, definitely getting rewarded here for, you know, doing something different and having the courage to follow through on that and not caring, like you said, on what people think and just doing and blazing your own path. So, yeah, definitely, I definitely want to avoid the traffic for sure.
Yeah, that's it. So I mean, and when I used to work full time and sort of run the business part time as I was starting it up, and that was just a motivator for me. You know, every time I was stuck in traffic or being given a shitty job by my boss, I thought, all right, yeah, just all right. This is just fuel for the fire to really kick things off. And I think that's when I really when things went into high gear was when I was just absolutely fed up with doing things I didn't want to be doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. And it definitely, you know, drives your own. I've done definitely the same sort of thing. So absolutely can understand there. I really want to thank you, Brenton, coming on the show, and really want to acknowledge you for the, you know, amazing work you're doing. You're helping so many people, obviously, in the swimming space and really taking their games to the next level. And really inspiring them. And man, I really hope you continue. I'm sure you will, and you'll absolutely, you know, obviously grow bigger and bigger than what you are already. And you know, so many people are going to be thankful for all the work you're doing through clinics, through your workshops and online programs and products and so forth. So really, congratulating you on all that, mate. And we'll definitely have to get you back on the show at some stage.
Thanks for having me, mate, and right back at you. I know you're doing an awesome job with your podcast. I mean, we've sort of known each other through friends, you know, for the last couple of years. Haven't really got to know each other that well, but as we were talking at a friend's birthday and kind of sharing what we did, it was it's awesome to hear that you're doing the podcast and doing the consulting and helping others improve as with team success and leadership and all that sort of stuff. So great job on putting yourself out there and doing something different than the crowd.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks. And we'll catch up soon.
There you have it, folks. Episode 28 with Brenton Ford. Isn't he an absolute star? And I was, you know, stoked to have him on, and I hope you guys got a lot out of that. And I know I did, and love hearing about people like Brenton really running their lives, running their businesses, really doing some great thing and really helping people achieve more in what they're all passionate about. So stoked to have him on, guys. You're definitely going to have to check him out on his websites and Twitter and Facebook, yeah, I believe he's on as well. So make sure you jump on there, Effortless Swimming, and you'll find your way to Brenton and check his stuff out. But guys, hope you love that one. And really, what really helps us here for this podcast show is you giving us a review on iTunes if you can. And really, you know, let us know if you really love this. And it really helps us getting great ratings off there. Really helps us to help you get more super guests on this show for you guys to learn from and, you know, take your games to the next level. And that would be absolutely appreciated by all of us here. And guys, as always, yeah, share it on with people, share it on your Facebook page, Twitter, whatever it is. It really helps. And this is obviously free for you guys to pass on to everyone out there to really help themselves. Listen to all these guests we've had in all the shows up to episode 28. 28 amazing guests. A couple of guys been on a couple of times, but some real stars, and I am firsthand listening to it and loving it, and hope me sharing it to you guys is getting so much out of as well, because I really love doing this, and we're going to continue to do this. Got some incredible guests coming up, guys. Amazing guests coming your way in the next few weeks. Got them all lined up, ready to go for you guys. So check them out when they come out too. I am excited, tell you what now, to get those ones out here for you guys. So make sure you hang around for 29, 30, 31, and a couple more after that. They're all ready to go, and I'm working on some other guys coming on to the show soon too. So plenty to look forward to. Enjoy your week. Keep smashing it. Keep empowering yourself and taking it to the next level. See you soon.